Welcome to Mr. Kak and Me. I am Mr. Kak, and this is another wonderful episode with me, by me. Some days I feel like just for me, just for men, just for macaque, which I believe is almost the correct pronunciation of a type of monkey in Asia. I don't know. The macaw? The macaw. I believe it's macaw. Sorry. Anyways, for today's, or I guess this week or this bi-weekly episode is brought to you by the letter Elon Musk. But before we get into that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping again. First and foremost, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate each and every one of you that takes any time out of your day to listen to any of my episodes or any of the things that I produce or throw onto the internet. So thank you. And if you would be so kind, please feel free to follow me on any of my social media platforms. You can find my link tree. There you go. You can find my link tree usually listed in the bio or description of this, but the link tree is linktr.ee/TheMrKak, and that'll take you to my stuff, and then you can go and peruse at your own discretion and decide, hey, this is something, yeah, sure, I'll keep doing these things that Kak is asking about, or no, Mr. Kak, I'm done getting peddled your smut, your vocalized auditory schmutt. But I hope you don't. I hope you enjoy this. I hope you want to connect. Again, I am always on the prowl to see if there's anyone out there that wants to have anything to discuss. I would. So I'm putting this out there right now. If you're listening right now and you have strong thoughts about Stranger Things 4, the James Webb Simpson telescope, or just weird, quirky stuff going on in your day in life, please feel free to reach out to me. Use my link tree. I think you can find my email through there as well. If not, I think you might be able to find my email on one of these pages. But if not, just find me on social media. Hit me up on Instagram or Twitter. On Twitter, I am Chris Cagle. On Instagram, the Mr. CAC. Wait. No. Yes. No. I might just be Mr. CAC on on Instagram. Either way, find me. send me a DM, a private message, a direct message, whatever the cool cats are referring to it as. Send that my way. Let me know. Hey, I would love to talk about this. Let me slide this in here too. So I know a lot of my content usually goes pretty heavy into like TV shows, movies, because I consume that and I'm very fascinated. I get very fixated with those properties that I love. There is an offshoot, a spinoff of a series that I love called Letterkenny, and the spinoff is called Shorzy. I recently stayed up till 3 a.m. binge watching that, and it made me a very unproductive human being for the next morning, but I felt very, very rewarded in the moment of watching that. So if you are a fan or interested in discussing Shorzy, Stranger Things 4, both volumes, either volumes, more specifically volume 2 or just whatever, or the new space pictures that we have that show that, you know, infinity and beyond is truly out there and has caused a lot of people to question their own existence in this vast hellscape of life. I would love to talk to you about any of those things or just anything else that's on your mind. Again, I just like talking to people. So if you are listening and you think, gosh dang it, this Mr. Kak fella, he sounds pretty swell, I think I'm going to talk to him. Talk to me. We can have a conversation. We can do whatever you want. Man, I don't care. I don't give a dang. But I do specifically those three topics I am very interested in talking about with whomever would be out there. And for the Shorzy thing, I am not a big hockey fan. I don't think I've ever actually watched a hockey game. Match, game, never watched a hockey. So if you are a hockey fan, I would love to talk to you just so you can help me understand what I don't appreciate about said sport, and maybe you can convince me to change my mind, to change my ways. But enough of all of that business, enough of it. We are about to move on to the Elon Musk of it all. But I would be remiss if I did not take a brief moment here to complain, to file a formal grievance. So me and my wife, we like to watch America's Got Talent. And during the pandemic years, just because I was not a fan of the auditioning from home, or, you know, some people had an unfair advantage where they were auditioning with an actual, like, production value, and it just that didn't seem right. So until they got back into being around people and the live audience, stuff like that, I wasn't really interested in watching the show. So because of that, we are not up to date
on pretty much anything America's Got Talent for a while now.
Sorry, it's late. It's late, and I'm doing this because I'm a foolish fool. But anyway, so we're not really caught up on the most recent season of America's Got Talent. We've just now started watching the episodes, and I think we were on the second episode. I think we just started the third episode before we decided to call it quits tonight. And I would like to, so I mean, it's bound to happen, right? This is like season 17 or season 700 of the show. So this was bound to eventually jump the shark. But this season, we have already had a girl group that was created by JoJo of JoJo with a Bobo and Dancing Moms or whatever that was called, of fame, that JoJo, who's now grown up. She started her own girl entertainment group, because you can't just call them singers, because pretty much every girl in the group is a trained dancer or had been working towards dance, but they could also perform musically, and then, you know, there's entertaining, so there's kind of levels to them. So I mean, that's interesting in and of itself. But they've already had a reality TV show about them, and they came out, I think it was on literally the first episode, they come out to audition. And the judges are like, you guys are great. Like, you guys should have your own show. And it's just like, my gosh. Why? So this one was the most egregious one. This one was the most egregious one because the judges were acting like they didn't know who these people were. Oh, these talented, very choreographed, very polished young girls just came out here and performed exceptionally well. And, you know, I guess the saving grace is that they were just given the four yeses, so that means they still have to compete and earn their way moving forward. Now, the thing that I think has angered people, and I definitely understand their anger, is that there was a young girl who apparently played the younger version of Selena in a recent Selena biopic. And so she's an actress, and I believe for that role she had to sing in the movie. Anyways, so America's Got Talent brings her in. They bring her in. Let's not just see, she just happened to be there, because they even show that they had her in the back and they brought her out. And they're like, you know what, we're gonna have you sit in the audience. So they put her in the audience, and then they have the guy that kind of keeps the crowd engaged when there's breaks between acts, because people are actually there for a long haul day to watch these auditions. So, you know, it's not constantly audition, because the judges, the prima donnas, need their moment to take a break, and it's understandable. But this guy's going through like, hey, can anyone sing? Can anyone sing? And apparently they do this, you know, in other breaks during other shows, so this isn't the first time they've done it. But you know, he goes around, he's getting all these people, and then the little girl raises her hand, and of course this hype man just so happens to see her after NBC execs have put her out in the audience, and of course she sings, and she's brilliant. Because she played Selena, I think. Like, I feel like that's the thing, right? I'm not making this up. Well, now I feel like I might be making this up. So let's double check.
Ah! Sorry, I've had to rip my way through the space-time continuum to incorporate this small little tidbit right here. So while I was recording my original conversation covering the details of further explaining who Madison Baez was and her kind of setup for why I felt like it was wrong for her to be included in America's Got Talent, while I was recording, I didn't realize, because I didn't have my headsets in, and it was 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, that I had audio playing in the background. So there's like a video talking over me while I'm talking. And because I was so hard pressed to get this out, you know, poor planning and poor preparation, I didn't realize it until after the fact. So if you're listening to this in the future, you know, congratulations. If you're listening to this a second time, congratulations. This is your Easter egg. You found a new thing. Essentially, what I said in the previous format that was being talked over by other audio is that Madison Baez was portraying a young Selena in the Selena series, which means that she was brought in for her musical ability. She's a Hollywood starlet. At the same time, you know, she also has a very compelling, very human backstory of she, you know, her father was suffering or was battling colon cancer, and I believe still might be. He's in recovery, and her singing, you know, was a big source of inspiration and a source of pride, and something that he has profoundly stated was part of his recovery. So I don't want to take away from that. I do want to take away from the fact that it clearly, America's Got Talent brought this, you know, the NBC execs or whoever brought this girl in, and then the judges just seem so mystified as, oh, she's so great, who is this? When she is a child prodigy, she's already on, you know, she's already been on a major, you know, not network, but streaming platform with a series. So, I mean, her recognition level is drastically different than the other thousands upon thousands of people that participate every year. That's just all I was saying. Sorry that the audio got goofed up. I'll try to do a much better job for 2 weeks from now episode where I will not try to record it incredibly late at night while I'm sleep deprived. All right, you're beautiful. Now back to your regularly scheduled CAC. Woo!
She's on a level that's different than the... Again, I would argue that a lot of the acts that make it aren't necessarily truly obscured acts. They probably have been, you know, trying, you know, comedians doing a lot of open mic nights, traveling, you know, maybe they've gotten a couple breaks here and there. But she was legitimately on a TV show for her singing talent. And it's just like, I don't know, this feels weird. And I guess the thing that really bugged me was the way that it was presented, that they brought her out, they planted her, they then called on her because she's their plant. And then the judges just so happen, well, hey, you're great, you should come up on stage. And then they give her the golden buzzer. It's just, it feels wrong. This feels like, it feels like the game is now being manipulated. And honestly, kudos to America's Got Talent taking, you know, 17 seasons to get to the point that you're finally just manipulating the show to have the acts that, you know, having solid acts to make it to your finals to help beef up your viewership, I guess, because, I mean, people are going to want to watch to see, does this girl legitimately have the chops, or, you know, because she is a young prodigy, is she about to just steamroll everyone, and is that fair or unfair? But, I mean, just the thing that, you know, the thing that these known commodities coming on, these known Hollywood commodities coming on to this show and advancing just feels wrong. And, you know, for the JoJo group, I don't know what they have to gain if they don't win at all, right? If they don't win at all, like, is that a detriment to their performance or what? And if Madison doesn't win at all, like, I don't know. Only one person wins, so maybe this is a moot point. You know, maybe they're just trying to prop it up and you know, build some hype going in. Maybe viewership was down last year. I don't know what the things are. I just want to know that I'm upset about that. Now, we go on to Elon Musk, and this episode was titled, I, Elon Musk, ask you a question. And yes, I've spent half the episode not talking about Elon Musk. And honestly, I think that's for the best. So I did an episode not too long ago, which, so not too long ago episode count, but probably like 2 months, 3 months by this point, in actuality, where myself and my brother Jared discussed the merits of Elon Musk proposing to buy Twitter. So we had this conversation before it was official. I think the offer was on the table, and I don't know if Twitter had accepted or not by that point, but it was basically a done deal. Now the thing that, you know, I didn't want to make the Elon Musk thing to be a, you know, is Elon bad? Is Twitter good? Is Twitter bad? Is Elon good? Because that's not how this works out in reality, right? Elon is a shade of gray. Twitter is a shade of gray. Both of them being large corporations and billionaires means that they're probably, you know, there's probably some darkness to that gray. Some not evil, right? Not evil, but they're probably not the most upstanding people. And you got now like these weird rumors, or maybe it's confirmed. I don't know. I'm not a big Elon historian, but apparently, you know, Elon's got some things that are shaking out of his closet. Twitter is a bit of a train wreck with kind of the publicity they've been getting ever since Elon took aim at trying to buy them and now is taking aim at burning them to the ground. But anyways, I happened to see this article. It wasn't on my radar until I saw it. And then going into a recording with my brother Jared, our friend Zach, or Al, who's done a couple of these episodes with me, and then another friend, TJ, who does the Rage You Nerds recordings with the other three, or with the other three of us. We were sitting down, we were doing a Rage You Nerds recording, but I don't know, this Elon thing drives me not crazy. Ooh, like no one else, but it I don't know, it's fascinating. Right? I think that's probably like the best way to put it. It's fascinating because realistically, and this is what I questioned, what I claimed, what I feared, what I was concerned about in that original episode is what is the ramifications of a billionaire waking up one day and thinking, out of petty spite, I am going to do the seismic move that impacts the lives of countless people working. And it seems like he just doesn't care about the ramifications of his actions fully. And I say that as someone that watched him kind of dick around with the cryptocurrency back during the start of the original point of the pandemic, when Bitcoin was skyrocketing and Dogecoin was becoming a thing, and Elon was being accused of manipulating it because every time he made kind of this grand gesture online about these electric currencies, these fake monies, that they would fluctuate in their price value, and it seemed like, and then the disastrous Saturday Night Live where he came out and basically tanked the Dogecoin stock after driving it, or helping drive it, to its highest point ever, by you know, like a 600% increase or whatever, something absurd. And then he comes on Saturday Night Live and it's just like, yeah, this is a hoax, because he was kind of asked jokingly and he kind of answered jokingly, but, you know, that's not how it was received, and Dogecoin plummeted and it hasn't recovered since. It's probably better off now than it was a year ago for sure, or 2 years ago, 5 years ago for sure, but it's not as good as its prime time, and its prime time was killed on Saturday Night Live, and that was very interesting to watch. But you just have like this super rich guy, and I'm not saying he's good. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying he's smart. I'm not saying he's the smartest. He's smart. He's smart. I'm not saying he's the second coming of anything. I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm not saying he's bad, good, anything. I'm just saying that this figure, this Elon Musk, he wields the power he has thanks to the almighty dollar that he's accumulated in a way that a child would. It feels like. It feels like. That's not to say that he doesn't do good things. I assume because he has a lot of money and because he has a PR team, that he does good and virtuous, at least looking things. My issue is that he has the money that if he wanted to bully someone into purchasing their company, he can do it because we literally just saw him do it. And then after he finally beat down Twitter into accepting this sale, he then backtracks and is like, well, y'all aren't giving me what I want, so I'm not doing this anymore. And it's just like, how do you hold someone accountable that has the finances, the financial resources to basically shrug off everything? And I guess the thing that gets me the most is that people are applauding this. There are some people, I'm not gonna say the same people, because that's an overused cliche, it feels like, at this point. It's just what you do in your argument to power boost or whatever. Within those that I've seen celebrating Elon Musk from the point that he pressured Twitter to make this sale by overwhelming them with his vast smog-like fortune, to now when he's backtracked and said, well, I'm not honoring any agreements, screw y'all, poop emoji. All the way to this point, you know, I've seen people who have questioned, debated, ostracized, torn down, you know, younger generations, because younger generations are entitled. They may, you know, back out of things. They may not seem fully committed and whatever, what have you. So it's hard for me to watch people that I know have criticized non-billionaires for acting in a similar fashion as this billionaire. What's not a big deal with the people that aren't billionaires is they don't have the significant amount of money to do damage. Elon Musk, you know, was going to buy out Twitter. His change was going to unsettle the employees of Twitter because, you know, there was going to be some restructuring is what was assumed. Now, he's tanking the price of Twitter stock, and that's going to have some backlash on people that work there. So, because he wants to get into a petty pissing match with the board of Twitter, there's going to be people, just normal people, that are going to get burned up in all of this, and he doesn't care. None of them care. Twitter doesn't care. Twitter's executive board does not care either. Let's make that real. The only time that they may ever care is to use it as a PR leverage against Elon. Well, look what Elon made us do to these people. But it just, I don't know, it upsets me that the obscenely rich just do whatever. Just do whatever and just crap on everyone that's downhill from them. And when you're obscenely rich, everyone, millionaires are beneath them. So millionaires, 100,000-aires, 10,000-aires, 1,000-aires, you know, 10 buccaneers, some McDonald's dollar menu-aires. Like, we're all getting crapped on the same by people that have billions of dollars because everyone is beneath them. Everyone could be under their pressure of financial leverage. So it just bothers me. That bothers me. And I'm not saying Elon bothers me. It probably feels that way, the way I keep talking about it. But I'm just saying this instance is very bleh. It seems bleh. Now, that's not to say that there isn't merit to what he wants, right? He wants to help. Like, his two issues, or I guess the one big issue that he's now fixated on to solidify why he's backing out of the deal, is that Twitter won't give up the full number of how many bots are on their platform. Because one of the things that Elon has constantly talked about, aside from the free speech / censorship stuff, is the removing of spam bots, removing of these automated accounts that aren't actual people, but that serve different purposes for either misinformation or just, you know, being douchey spam bots. And we all receive emails from these douchey spam bots, but some of them are on Twitter. And, you know, some of these bots on Twitter are being used to manipulate Twitter's trending to kind of push a narrative or to make it seem like public support is in one direction, but then you don't know how many of the people that are talking about this are bots or how many of them are real people. And you kind of see it at times when you hop on a comment thread and you see people with different accounts and images but have word for word the same reply. Like, that's just, huh, where did you come up with that? Twitter user egg 01048321022. So it's just one of those things where it's like, I understand what Elon wants, and I'm not saying that what Elon wants or what he's, you know, what he's deciding to balk on this deal for isn't a legitimate thing. It's just, I guess I'm still bothered by the whole he woke up one day petty and angry enough to just want to screw with Twitter, and he did it on the grandest stage. And he did it in the most dickish way of flaunting his $44 billion. It's the weirdest pissing contest ever to unfold. But, you know, he's also a billionaire that shot a penis-looking rocket ship up in the air. You know, that's kind of what billionaires do, make some phallic spaceships and send them off to the space. But anyways, to help, I guess, guide through more of my thoughts and to get some of feedback from others. During the recording session, this was brought up. It was part of a segment that we were doing called Nerd Show and Tell, where each one of us brought in a topic and discussed it with the others in the group. So my contribution was Elon Musk, the hell's going on here? And it gave Zach, it gave TJ, it gave Jared all a chance to provide their feedback and just see, you know, kind of if others felt the same way I did or if they disagreed with me. So I hope you enjoy this segment of all of that.
Horrible. Seems absolutely horrible.
Well, there you have it. Two nerds. Al gave a face. He's not completely off board or on board with it. And TJ stoic. So, all right, we're good. It's a true reflection of how things go. All right, let's do a little nerd show and tell, and we'll see how this goes. And if we need to fine tune it, that's fine. But hey, we got a little music for it because it's nerd show and tell. Dumb and I love it, but hate it. All right, so what Nerd Show and Tell is, or maybe we'll call it Nerd Around the Horn or Around the Horn, even though I think there's something that already goes by that, so don't sue us.
Disney, please.
Is each one, yeah, because that is Disney, that goes back to Disney, is that each one of us have brought forth a topic. This topic could be something that we feel, think, love, whatever, or it can be a straight headline ripped or something that's currently trending in nerd news that we want to talk about, we have a vested interest in, we're sharing it with the group, and we're seeing if the group wants to chit-chat with us about it. Maybe we'll throw out a guided question to fire up the chit-chatter juice, and if it doesn't work, we're on to the next one. So we will follow the pre-described order. Well, actually, no, this first time around, because you're all getting caught off guard a little bit, I'll ask, would anyone like to go first?
I had prepared something.
I was thinking, CAC, you go first, so we can kind of see
first.
Where you're going
fine.
With this. And then we could adjust.
Yeah, of course.
As
of course.
Needed.
So this, my topic I would like to bring to the group that I would like to, my contribution to the Midnight Society is this. I saw this topic today. I saw two articles about it. I didn't realize it was a thing until I saw these articles, and I immediately had thoughts and feelings. So Elon Musk is backing out of purchasing Twitter, and now Twitter is suing Elon Musk for his termination of that purchase of Twitter. So me and Jared, we've had a conversation about the whole Elon Musk Twitter thing, and now I find myself with renewed vigor of, he never had any actual, like, he was never going to buy this. This was a petty thing. This was just a really rich guy that wanted to show the world he's a really rich guy, and now he's got, like, maybe children of the corn popping out of the woodworks. Maybe he spawned children that are out there. Maybe he has 9 confirmed kids. Who knows? He's a robot. He's not a robot. He's an alien. There's actual aliens. I don't know. All I know this.
is he was supposed to buy the birdie, make the birdie better. But instead, the birdie didn't like that. But he was like, well, I'm still going to do it. And everyone was like torn between what they were going to do. But mostly people were like, hey, the good, bad man buying the Twitter is a good thing. And now the good, bad man is not buying Twitter, which makes him a good, bad man that's went bad. And I don't know what to feel about it, but I do know that I'm kind of feeling something. I just don't know what that is. So, boys, I ask you, how should I feel about Elon Musk not buying Twitter after saying he was buying Twitter? Is he the bad man or is he the good man? but yeah, that's my contribution. That's my topic to bring to the table.
You know, this sounds like a power move more than anything. Like, doesn't it? It sounds like, you know, he still wants to buy Twitter and he's made demands about buying Twitter, like from Twitter about certain things, and those demands weren't met. So it's like a power move. At least that's everything that I'm getting off this, all the vibes I'm getting off of it. It's just like, you know, it's like, oh, well, we're going to sue. Well, you know what? You can sue all you want. But, you know, if there's something, an escape clause in that contract that he can get out of it, then he can get out of it. But it's just, it feels like it's a power move on his part as in, to try to get something that he hasn't got yet.
Al, I want you to go next on this one because I do have some things to say about this.
You're muted, Al, you Al. silly squirrel.
All right, sorry. Anyways, I feel like this is like buying a house. You could back out at any moment. So, I mean, it's comes with what it is. I mean, maybe he realized that Twitter is a sack of shit and just didn't want to be a part of that. So,
by the way, follow us on Twitter. I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, no, it's a good plug. Good plug.
That'd be a good spot for that little tweety thing with the, you know, our at. Okay. Now here's the thing with Elon too. And again, me and Kak went down on this in depth mm-hmm. one night. Where I was kind of on the same page with him. I was like, I don't know. You know, I think he's serious about his values, we'll call him. I don't know what his intentions are. But TJ also makes a good point here. Excuse me. He is still kind of holding all the cards. Even if he says, yeah, I'm not going to buy it. And they say, well, we're going to sue you for $1 billion. Fine. Here's my billion. I'm still a 1/3 owner. And because of this, Twitter stock, the last time I checked, had dropped like $2 a share. No, $4 a share since the announcement till close of market, I believe. $4 a share. That doesn't sound like a whole lot. Actually, I think he made this announcement after the close of the market today. Which tells me another thing, that Monday morning could be very interesting as far as Twitter is concerned, as far as stockholders, people that own stock in Twitter are concerned. So here's what I'm thinking. Elon Musk is not a stupid guy. Yes, he's a little, I don't want to use the term flamboyant, but yeah, he's a rich guy. He's like, I want to buy that. It didn't work. Ah, who cares? I want to buy that. You know, some critics have said like, okay, well, he's seen how Tesla kind of took a hit since he made this announcement. That's his bread and butter. SpaceX kind of took a hit. That's kind of his other bread and butter. I could see why he would, you know, step away and say, I don't think he's stepping away. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't think he's stepping away, but I'm kind of with TJ on this one. I think he's in it to win it. He had to have more than one plan going into that. I'm going to offer him this. If they don't take it, then screw them. You know, and then they accept it, and he's like, oh, no, I don't really want it. I don't see Elon Musk as that guy. So if what I think is going to happen comes true, he's going to own it either way. Because if the price of Twitter stock Monday morning at the opening bell in the stock market, if the bottom drops out of it, who do you think's buying those shares? Yep. At next to nothing. Who do you think's buying those shares? He can't do a whole – yes, maybe even me. Hey, if it drops to $1 a share, I got $100 right now. So let's say like right now, and by the way, owning a third, I don't think, is it a third or is it like 10%? It's a massive amount regardless. But let's just say we'll split the difference. Let's say 20%, 33, you know, 10. All right. Let's say he owns 20% right now. If the bottom drops out of that stock and he can take the whatever he was going to pay to buy Twitter outright, which is those shares of stock, which he offered at $44 or whatnot a share, and they drop to, they're already at 32 a share. So if the bottom drops out of it and they drop to like 19 a share, he wins this either way. He can buy more shares. He can sell his shares. That was the other thing I thought he might do is when they said no, sell every bit of share that he had and cause the price to go down. I don't know what's going to happen, but we will find out Monday morning when the market says something's going to happen. So I'm really interested to see that, because I think that's his play. I mean, why would it not be your play? You already have, you're a majority owner with whatever percent you have. You make an offer to buy it. They say yes. Then you back out saying they weren't being truthful. They sue you. All that's between you and Twitter. The investors in Twitter that aren't you and the board are looking at this going, this is volatile. I don't like it. The price is already starting to drop. I'm out. I'm done. I'm getting out of this. So I think Monday morning, I am curious to see it, because it's going to fall. It's plain and simple. It is going to fall. How far does it fall? That's what we'll see Monday morning. But that's my play. If I'm him, he's got them by the balls. He can do anything he wants. I can back out of this deal, pay $1 billion, still buy the company, buy a majority share. Because if you had, let's just say legitimately, he owns 51% of that company. He doesn't have to be on the board because he's got 51% of the vote. I mean, he doesn't. He can vote in any board member he wants. He can vote in any president he wants, any treasurer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because he, unless the other 49% can somehow muster up enough, you know, which, no, they wouldn't. If he owns 51%, they're done. They could all band together and all vote the same way. He still gets them by a percent. So, which I don't think he'll ever end up owning 51%, but I still say the ball's in his court. I think this is, I think he had calculated probably several scenarios. He Dr. Stranged it. How many ways can you see us winning? One. Do we win this time? If I tell you, then it won't happen. Elon's a smart guy. He knows what's going on. I don't think this is over.
Which right now he owns 9% of the 9%. Shares of Twitter, which makes him still a heavy mover with it, because that's the largest singular, I think, person, singular position of shares. All right, so who would like to go next with their show and tell? Boy howdy, that was fun and exciting. And if, you know, honestly, if you wanted to hear the remaining I guess segments of Nerd Show and Tell, please feel free to reach out and let me know, and I will post those as well. Otherwise, I appreciate you for listening. For if you're at this point, I appreciate you listening for the episode. Again, I would love for someone to reach out to me and talk to me about hockey, Shorzy. If you want to talk about Letterkenny and just in general, we can. My anger towards America's Got Talent, and if you agree, Stranger Things season 4, your thoughts, your reactions, your feelings, you know, Thor Ragnarok, Thor Love and Thunder. If you want to talk about that too, I'll talk about that. And the new telescope up in space taking all of them beautiful pictures. All right, this has been Mr. Kak. This has been me. This has been Mr. Kak and me. I will see you in 2 weeks. Have a good one, lovelies. Mwah!